Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad to have you listening today. And a special shout out to our new friends listening on Faith 1290 in Hartford, Connecticut. Welcome, welcome. So glad to have you part of the Faith Radio family. We want to get you a new listener packet. If you'd like one, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Get one for free, just information on our programming, and we just say bless you. I want to extend a special welcome as well. If you're listening from the Hartford, Connecticut area, email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Give me your mailing address. I'm going to put a gift pack together, some great books off of our Faith Radio shelf, just as a way of saying thank you for listening and welcome to the Faith Radio family. So I have a question for you. Do you have someone in your life or someone even in history that's so deeply inspired you that you're still thinking about some of the things that they've said, or maybe advice or wisdom they imparted to you impacts how you show up in your relationships? Well, I remember when I was a young mom, I was making my bed, listening to Focus on the Family on the radio, and Dr. Gary Smalley talked about, he said, never let your child walk away with a closed spirit. And he unpacked what that meant, that when we maybe have reactionary moments with our kids, we yell at them and we see them sort of shut down. Now, maybe what they did was wrong, but our reaction wasn't great. He says, walk that thing through and make sure their spirit opens up again, or over time, their hearts will grow hard and cold, and they won't be able to receive from you. I mean, I had a little baby and a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time. Totally changed how I showed up in my parenting. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we have our good friend Dr. Greg Smalley on the show 2 to 3 times a month, and we love talking with him about relationships. Greg and Aaron were actually at our house speaking at a conference in town here when Greg had to leave suddenly because his dad was getting ready to pass into glory. And so what we're doing today is honoring the legacy, the memory of Dr. Gary Smalley. So many funny stories, so much rich wisdom. But really the point here is just to remind us all to be much with God, to take hold of everything God has given us, because there's a ripple effect of our lives. We're celebrating Dr. Gary Smalley today. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His books include The DNA of Relationships and the Wholehearted Marriage, and about 11 billion other books as well. He and his wife have 3 daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and son Garrison. He's got an influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much. I cannot believe what has happened in my life since Aaron and I were with you and Kevin.
Yeah.
There in Minneapolis.
We had a candlelight dinner all ready for Greg and Aaron. Bless his little heart. No, but we were glad. We were glad to be with Aaron and just sort of get around her. And we were glad to be able to pray for you and send you off so you could be there when your father passed. And before we even get into that, I know you're someone who loves God's word. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days?
Yeah, I was. We did an estate sale about 1.5 years ago for my parents, and they lived about 7 houses down in Colorado Springs from us. And so I was just in my dad's office. I was just throwing papers and pictures and kind of in these big plastic tubs. Didn't go through that stuff. But after he died, I was going through some stuff, and I found the coolest thing. I mean, I was blown away. I found a typed testimony that he wrote 40 years ago, and it was about a 3-page document, and reading through that just blew my mind. But really, for him, the essence of his ministry, what motivated him, where he was passionate, really came from the greatest commandment. And I know that, Susie, we talk a lot about this, and yet, just in his own words, Mark 12:30 and 31, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that truly defined his call to ministry. How do I help people love God, have a deeper relationship with Christ, and to love others? That was his passion.
Wow. And that's your passion too, Greg. You know, and I remember,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
For those who maybe aren't aware of this, Greg and I co-hosted a Focus on the Family Live show for about a year and had just built a lot of memories there and a lot of outtakes.
Really. We do a whole show on the stupid things I said.
And I said, really? No. Yes.
Me.
Exactly. Well, it was mostly Greg, but I was in there too. I'm kidding. But I mean, I think about one of my favorite stories is when you were a young husband and struggling. You know, everybody struggles at first in marriage, and you just felt like you couldn't live up to your father's legacy of faith. And you said, you know, just so used to seeing him on his knees in the morning, and you were, you know, saying, I can't be that just yet. And your dad just put his arm around you, and I would love for you to unpack that. But, you know, as I remember it, that just giving you permission to be in process, as we all are, because he didn't start out that way. Maybe tell us about that, because he gave you permission to be where you are. But now look where you are. That same verse is your passion, and you ooze it, Greg. So tell us about that memory.
Yeah, that's one of my very favorite stories, to where, yeah, I was going through this spiritual crisis, not feeling that I could possibly measure up to what he did and what I watched him do, and just his prayer time and the reading of the word and all that, and thinking that, you know, I was a new husband, and so Erin had become frustrated with me. And I think she had expectations of what I would be doing and what our spiritual relationship would look like. Me as a spiritual leader, what was I to do? And it got to the point where I was so discouraged. And I was lamenting one time. He and I were out to dinner. We were speaking together. And he was just saying, hey, you've been married, whatever, a year. Actually, it was probably about 2 years of marriage. And he goes, you know, how are things going? And I just jokingly went, you know, yeah, thanks a lot. Way to ruin my life and my marriage. And he's like, what? And I said, well, I mean, come on, Erin sees you we all know, you know, what you do spiritually. And it's just, Dad, it's really hard to measure up to that. And so I know that she's frustrated. I'm discouraged. And, you know, way to go. And I'll never forget. I mean, it was kind of one of those, you've seen the scenes like in a movie to where, you know, the older man kind of whacks the guy in the head and, you know, like, listen up.
And your toupee kinda goes flying? Oh, sorry.
Exactly, yeah. I found it. It was in someone's, you know, sandwich at the next table.
Sorry.
It was awkward. Yeah. It had blue cheese all over it. But, you know, just for him to, he drew me in. And got real close and said, you know, it was one of those, look at me in the eyes, and by the way, shut your mouth. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't say any of that, but that's what
right.
the
like
the,
he had
the,
something
the
to say to
was.
You.
Mm-hmm. And he goes, son, he goes, I just remember him looking at me and going, I know that you look at me and but yet you that's not you. And he goes, actually, he goes, Greg, when I look at you, I see a man who loves God, who loves his wife, loves his daughter, who pursues spending time with it. He just kind of ran through this whole list saying, that's you being a spiritual leader. He goes, it's, you know, prayer and reading the Bible, amazing stuff, but there's 50 other things that you also can do and need to be doing and that you're doing. And what he did is he broadened my ideals of what it means to be a spiritual leader, from thinking it's got to be a devotional every day for at least 25 minutes using, you know, whatever, and, you know, the original Greek, you know, I mean, whatever, to really going, you know what, there, look at your life and those things that you're doing and pursuing. Those are all ways that you're leading your wife and your daughter, you know, as a spiritual leader. And it just, it had a profound effect upon me. Mm. I mean, it freed me.
So
and
good.
I think, you know, even going back, talking to Erin about it, she had that experience where she went, oh, yeah. Because in her mind, it was supposed to look like this. But just the way that he freed me from that, and
it's
even
amazing.
Her, it made a huge difference in our marriage.
Mm, well, I love that. Well, talk, if you would, about Gary Smalley, the individual. And first, before we do this, I just got to tell you, our buddy Greg cannot catch a break, because there have been times Greg's been booked to be the keynote, And people still say, Gary Smalley speaking. In fact, one time Greg was in the bathroom. I don't know this from personal experience. He told me this. When that guy was so, I'm so excited to see Gary Smalley. And you're like, oh, I think it's his son, Greg. No, I want to hear Gary. And I mean, you're so gracious, but you repeatedly get mixed up for Gary.
Well, even my, and I sent you a copy of this because it's my new favorite mix-up between me and my dad, was Focused on the Family really, truly did an amazing job of kind of taking the lead. I'd asked them when he died, they said, how can we help? Can you just put the word out and kind of create, you know, just a press release and just let the media know? They do such an amazing job with that. Jim Daly wrote this great blog. I just loved it. So they go, absolutely, we'll jump in. And so, you know, within days of his death, they had prepared everything to send out. So they just wanted me to look at it one last time before they sent it out. And so they sent it to me, and it said, marriage expert Greg Smalley has died. So normally, you know, they think that I'm the one speaking. They think I'm Gary Smalley. So
you're sort of interchangeable. Sort of
That's right. This is a new spin.
You've always been a great sport about that.
The bane of my existence. Yeah.
One other good memory was when, I'm trying to remember, we called your dad. We were doing the Everyday Show, the Focus Show.
Yeah.
And I think we alerted your mom ahead of time, Norma, to have him do this. But we called him and you said, hey, Dad, it's your favorite. And he said, Michael? That's Greg's brother. And he goes, I'm just kidding. But that was a funny moment.
I don't think he was kidding, actually. I think he just was trying to recover.
Well, you got your good sense of humor from him, that's for sure. So do this. Tell us about Gary, the man, the individual.
You know, when I used to love listening to his stories, he's such a great storyteller. And those who've had the privilege of, you know, being at a seminar or hearing him on radio, just a phenomenal storyteller. And I remember as a young kid, just he would come in before bed, and just my siblings, three of us, we'd just be on his arms, and he'd just tell story after story about his life growing up in the Boise area, the Washington State area, and just was so captivated by those things. But one of the things that I really started to learn and understand about him is that he would tell you that he grew up in a home with a very angry father, very uninvolved, and that really had a profound effect upon him as a young boy, just seeing in sort of that curse in many ways of anger just permeated throughout his family. I mean, that was true for his brothers. He just would often talk about being able to almost like map out, you know, people who had died from heart disease and things that he would say, man, I'm telling you, anger played such a part in that. And there came a point in time to where he made a real, real conscious decision going, I want to break that curse, and I don't want to continue a legacy of anger. And reading his testimony, he even talked about how as a young husband, as a young father, he still really struggled with that. And it was costing him his marriage. It was having an impact and again, I don't even remember him like this. And yet he talked so much about, I want to break that. And that was one of the big motivators within his ministry even. I mean, he did this personally with his wife, with us as kids. But he was very driven to keep anger low within our home. And I never quite understood that, and it was kind of this little catchphrase that he had, you know, low anger. But now I really, really get it, looking back and even reading some of the things from his own testimony that he struggled with.
And you have become a benefactor of that about face change. And it's so easy to say, well, this kind of thing runs in our family. I think it's a hero, a person who stands in the gap and says, it stops with me. And from here on in, my family and the families after this are going to know something different.
Right.
That is no small thing. Well, I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, about his dad, Gary Smalley, the legacy he left, what we can learn from him. Don't go away. More with our buddy Greg when we come back.
Bring him back. Brokenness, and I'll bring mine, 'cause love.
I chose that song because if there's one thing that marks the Smalley family, it's just honesty and transparency. So they invite us into their life and their story so we can all learn. There's no pretense about any one of these Smalleys. I love this family so much. We are honoring the memory of Dr. Gary Smalley. And if you've read a book, if you received wisdom, as you maybe heard him on Focus on the Family or another radio show, why don't you call in and share with Greg? I think that might be a great blessing to him. Only open the phone lines up a couple of times, but I'd sure love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. That is a toll-free call, 877-933-2484. You can email if that's easier, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So the question I asked you before the break, Greg, is, you know, tell us about Gary the individual. And the thing that the first thing you mentioned was that he'd grown up with an angry dad, and he decided himself, it's going to change with me. I'm going to do something different. And I just, that's a totally heroic thing, because I feel like there is something to generational sins. There's a, it, to me, it's like a raging river. And so to turn and go the other way, you know, it just takes a lot of grit and grace to do that. What else about Gary the individual just stands out to you?
Well, as you talked about earlier, there was such a deep faith, such a deep passion for God to have a relationship with Christ. And what was interesting when I was reading this testimony that he wrote 40 years ago, I'm just going to read just a little bit of what he was saying. He goes, as the years passed and I finished my first year of seminary, I became extremely frustrated because my own personal life was not reflecting the Spirit of Christ. He goes, my doubts about Scripture and God himself, my fears and worries and temper, disharmony at home, and my inward dissatisfaction all led me to further doubt about the quote-unquote game that I was involved in with so many other church people who likewise shared my confusion. He said that God has grown to such a low scale within me during those early years that I recall telling my wife, so my mom, he goes, either Jesus Christ becomes more personal and my call more definite, or I can't continue towards ministry. So this is when he was in seminary.
Wow.
Right near where we were, Bethel Seminary.
Bethel,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But doesn't that show the integrity of his crisis? I mean, truly.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Keep going.
I mean, he finished with this. He goes, and I'll do all I can to find Christ real until the summer, and then that's all. And then if I don't experience a real Christ in my life, then he goes, I'm going in a different direction.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
And so what he did is he went on a personal retreat, and he spent several days just on his knees, just crying out to God. And he says there came a point in time to where he just had this clear, crystal clear calling and vision about where God just showed up and kind of charged him around the greatest commandment. And that's what he said. He goes, he goes, so God laid upon my heart to serve him in three areas, according to Matthew 22:37-40, which is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, so that Jesus Christ can be formed within me. He goes, number two, to love my wife and my family, especially my son Greg. It's really awkward that he put that in there.
Well, you got to read it if it's there.
It's there. As Christ loves the church, so to sacrifice for his family, Ephesians 5:25. Then he goes, to love my Christian brothers and my neighbor as myself, always hoping and praying that my neighbor will likewise love the Lord, his family, and his fellow neighbor. And I never had heard this. I've never seen this. It was just so cool just to see him struggle. Because I knew the spiritual giant. I knew the dude that would go out running for an hour praying the whole time. I saw the guy, I'd wake up and find him on his knees and praying and reading the scripture. So that's all I knew. I never knew that he struggled like this. And it's so cool to see how that he was done if God didn't show up, and how God just showed up and really gave him that greatest commandment to go, man, that's your life calling right there. Go.
I have
charge
to believe,
you with that.
Indeed. I have to believe that nobody with that kind of conviction and fruitfulness in their life is there without the kind of crisis moment that you're talking about. I think so many by osmosis sort of adopt a faith, and it's somewhat their own, but they're sitting down on it a little bit. But I think when you have the integrity of that kind of fight and wrestling to say, this has to be mine, this has to be true, that is the only way that God can trust you with the size of ministry that he had. Well, we've got about 3 minutes to break. Talk about, I know this one you may have to carry over to the other side because you have a lot to say about this one, but the kind of husband that he was.
Yeah. This is the part that I got to do in his memorial service. Mm. And I asked my mommy, I've heard their kind of love story, but it, you know, but I said, hey, really walk me through it carefully. And it was so funny. Just her, the way that she talks about it. So my parents kind of dated on and off kind of 3 years, 4 years. This was way back in, you know, early 1960s. Around March 1964, he invites her to this college retreat for his college youth group that he's a part of. So she goes, and so they're in Palm Springs. And at some point, he walks into her hotel room and starts to play this song that was real popular back then. I think it was by the Four Freshmen called Graduation Days. Mm. And he rewrote the words to that. So he has the music playing, drops down, and sings her this song and proposes. And she's going, I didn't even really know that you liked me that much. And I mean, she's going, I am stunned. So she goes, yes. And then he takes her right into like the big group meeting of all the college kids and announces, hey, I'm, you know, this is Norma, my fiance. We just got engaged. She said yes. And my mom says that there were two other girls in the youth group who were stunned by this, thinking that they were dating him. I'm like, what?
Okay, you know what? I say this very carefully, but I can so see that happening to you. Wait, what? I wasn't clear about that? Oops.
I mean, could you imagine? Sorry. They don't even know that there's a Norma, anybody. Oh, and then he announces that I'm engaged. And they're like,
I thought I was engaged to you.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
And so with that, but they got married shortly after that and were married 52 years.
My.
And what I would love to talk about, though, is I asked my mom, so I said, you know, I get the privilege of talking about your marriage. And I said, how would you sum that up in one word? And man, I'm telling you, without any thought to that whatsoever, I mean, it was right there. And she said, here's the word that I would say that absolutely was the essence of our marriage. And the word was growth.
Mm.
And I just went, really? So not love or passion, which kind of makes me nauseated. But, you know, what was
that? She
knew
what she was talking.
So it's interesting to hear her unpack what she meant by that.
What would you say if you had to come up with one word thus far in your marriage?
Oh, wow. Golly, one word.
I'll let you think about it. Today is our wedding anniversary.
Oh,
it is.
Congratulations.
Yep. And the first word that just came to me now is fruitful.
15 years.
31 years.
Oh,
ah! Back with Greg Smalley in a minute. Hope you're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. He joins us 2 to 3 times a month on Wednesdays to talk about faith, marriage, family, relationships. Today, we're honoring the memory of his dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, who recently passed into glory. And we're just talking about Gary the man, Gary the husband, Gary the father. But we're not done talking about Gary the husband. You got to give that portion of the eulogy at his funeral recently. And you asked your mom, what's one word? What a great question. What's one word that would mark your marriage? And she said, what again? Growth.
So she said the word growth. And again, not sure what I was going to hear, but it kind of caught me by surprise thinking, really? Because it I don't know what it was, but it didn't sound real romantic. Mm. But I said, so what? Explain that. What do you mean by that? And I love her explanation. She said, you know, she goes, man, we've had some difficult times. Those early years were really, really tough. But what she goes, what I loved about our marriage is that your dad and I decided, one, that we would never divorce. And we were very committed to continuing to learn and to grow and to try to keep doing this thing called marriage better and better and better. And she goes, we went to counselors. And I was like, whoa, 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 for real? I'm like, who'd you go to? I've never heard this. And just to hear her say, you know, there's been seasons where we went to this person, and I was kind of dumbfounded going, wow, that is so cool. And she, you know, we've been a part of small groups, and those small groups really challenged us to grow. And that really is what I would say. And now hearing her say that, looking at their marriage, that is exactly, I think, what characterized their marriage.
Wow.
I love that.
It's great. So you've had a few minutes to think about it. What would be the word for you and Aaron?
Yeah. Okay, so the word that finally came to my mind, no, I got it, is I would say redeemed.
Oh, that's good.
Because, much like my parents, you know, Aaron and I really struggled early on in our marriage. And, you know, I've shared this before, but it is probably 3 years into our marriage that I really thought we were one more argument away from her leaving. I mean, I thought she was done. I really didn't think she was going to stay married to me. And it was just we were having a really hard time working through differences and handling conflict. It just we were stuck, and hearts begin to harden. And yet, boy, to see now 24 years later, just what God has done and just what we've learned and what he's done in our marriage. And I was telling you, you know, when I think about our marriage, one of the first things that comes to my mind is when we get to speak together. And I love, there's just this special moment that I'm standing next to my wife and she's talking to a crowd and I'm just looking at her that I experience the most profound and deep love for her. Just going, I mean, a lot of times I'll just be sitting there going, I love her so much.
I know.
So
can
cool.
I just attest?
I can't believe that we get to be up here.
He has this happy, dumb look, and I love this brother, but you have this like, I love her so much. It's the cutest thing. But it is really awesome because you know what? I wouldn't say her look towards you is happy, dumb, but she has fond honor. When you're talking, she returns she watches you, and it's really a powerful thing. But as you and I were talking during the break, when you're doing that, that's not the main thing. That's you talking about what you're doing every day of the week. You're talking about what you've been living, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What God's done through the pain, through the trials. And I love that, and it does feel very redeemed. And we still have challenges. But I think after 24 years, I think I really have such a confidence in us that I don't worry that the problems that we're going through somehow is going to, you know, devastate.
Be the deal breaker.
And I just know that we can work through it. Yeah, that we'll get through it. I mean, sometimes it looks ugly and sometimes it's tough and it takes some time and we need help. But I know we'll get there.
Yeah.
I love that. And we have a ton of fun.
You do. You do.
And my dad, kind of for him, when he would talk about marriage, you know, he would always hold up this diamond. And because I think he was best known for the concept of honor. I think that's one of his hallmarks that he's known by. And when I was studying for what was I going to say, you know, I kind of researched a little bit on, you know, how do you cut a diamond? So, you know, I think about for them 52 years ago, there was this rough, unpolished, uncut diamond that God, the master diamond cutter, kind of took. And he began to cut away at their marriage and to do this. I mean, you've got to cut and saw and do all kinds of things to that diamond to get it just shaped right. Then you polish it, and then there's sort of this final inspection. And I love that as I thought about their marriage, you know, that I just thought that diamond so perfectly illustrated that they allowed God to cut away at their marriage for 52 years, and he faithfully did that. Out of love, and they use the pain and the cuts, you know, in the to teach others, and that's why I love that they were always and my dad always talking about, I screwed up here as a husband. Oh, the other day I messed up here. That's the cutting that God was doing. Mm. And in some ways I said to my mom, you know, we all stand here with you sort of as the final inspection. Look what you did.
Right.
And to be able to hold up this huge diamond to go, this was your marriage. I mean, look at this gorgeous 52-year beautiful marriage diamond that we all now get to see. And that's the you know, you talk about the vows of, you know, until death do us part. I mean, that was the moment that we got to observe going, yeah, you finished well. Yeah, that is a beautiful diamond that God created.
Mm. What a great analogy. Well, Amanda writes in and says, I know I'm at least a fourth generation carrying on anger. I desperately want to change that. How did your dad do that? I hate it that I'm quick to anger with my four kids and husband. God bless you. Thanks so much for that email. What do you say?
You know, he made a decision that he was going to keep anger low in our home. And so when it happened, so it wasn't that it didn't happen. And again, anger as an emotion, it says, in your anger, do not sin. And so I think what he really tried to learn is that how in my anger do I not sin? What does that look like? And he started to review his father and his experience. And so, you know, what I love about his legacy as a father is that he really truly made a decision that hey, when I mess up as a dad, when I, you know, frustrate my kids, when I hurt my kids, when I wound my kids, which I'm going to do, and when I get angry, that I'm going to pursue them and make sure that I get that anger out of their heart. And because there was a way in which I think he recognized that ongoing exposure to anger, being exposed to wound after wound after wound, it hardens your heart. And he just said, I will not allow that. And he made plenty of mistakes, but I'll tell you, I love thinking back to him as a dad, really realizing that, you know what, he always pursued us after a fight, after an argument, after a tough situation, that he never allowed, you know, us to stay in that state of just, I'm angry at you, Dad. And he would come humbly, and he tells the story, and I barely remember it. I think I remember because I've heard it so many times. But he was talking to someone on a phone, and I was pretty little, and an important phone call, and I'm playing, my brother and I are kind of wrestling and being loud, and he keeps, you know, puts his hands over the phone and is like, would you guys stop it? You know, I'm going to kill the both of you if you don't, you know, settle down and be quiet. Well, all of a sudden I came back just screaming. And so he excused himself and said, may I call you back, and hung the phone up and took me in and spanked me, you know, just for disrupting him as he kept telling us not to do. Well, after the spanking, he goes, what on earth happened? And I showed him my ear, which was now swollen and bloody, and said that as we were playing that I fell and hit the tub and hurt my ear. Mm. And I'll never forget just him softening and just going, oh my gosh, I am the biggest loser as a dad. Mm. And didn't offer an excuse and just said, son, I was so wrong. And he just, you know, he tried to put his arms around me, and you know, I stiffened up because I was hurt. You talk about planting seeds of anger. And he continued to apologize and said that I was so wrong and you're way more valuable. I remember him saying, you know what, you were so much more important and valuable than a phone call. He goes, and I didn't treat you the way that I feel about you, how much I value you. And so I remember him going, you know, how about, you know, he kind of hands me the spanking stick and goes, here, why don't you spank me for what I did? And, you know, of course I laid that down and just gave him a big old hug. But that's what he did over and over and over again, that he would pursue. And I loved thinking as a dad of four that, you know, what I learned from my dad is that, as God says, that I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I will love you with an everlasting love. And may he back that up. And so that's why I, you know, we're never going to get rid of anger, because it's not the emotion itself that God says, it's what we do with that anger. So I think that's where he really went, what do I do? how do I, when I get angry, how can I be aware of it and notice that? But more importantly, how can I humble myself enough to go and say, you know what, that's wrong. I mean, my dad, he didn't have, I mean, you know, he could have been the adult and said, regardless, you were still screwing around. If you weren't screwing around so much, you wouldn't have hit your ear and interrupted my important call. It just, he acted very differently. That humility, that gentleness that he pursued to get my heart back open to him. And I think that's what we do.
Mm, absolutely amazing. And Amanda, I hope that's encouraging to you. Pray about it. Ask God to help you because he wants to help you. But when you blow it, like we all do, go back and talk it through and see their hearts open up again. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the highlights of just funny Gary stories, dad stories. You got to start with the one when he was napping in the chair and you and your brother used a bark collar. See, this goes both
it's
ways. I want to know, did you humble yourself and say, Dad, I was a loser to put a bark collar on your neck while you were sleeping? Do you believe he did that? So we're going to tell that story and more when we come back with Dr. Greg Smalley. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, having a fabulous conversation with our friend Dr. Greg Smalley, remembering his dad, Dr. Gary Smalley, just the life, the legacy, the lessons we can learn from this wonderful man. And we've talked about Gary the man, Gary the husband, talking about Gary the father. And you just told a story before the break that was so precious and just marked his life as humility. I mean, Aaron said that so many times too, that his humility really helped her venture into the faith life. I mean, truly, she said she was so new to the whole thing. She had no idea who she was marrying and what kind of family she was marrying into.
Yeah.
And she said Gary and Norma both were so humble, and they entered into her not knowing that it made it a safe place for her to grow to be a woman of faith. And
yeah,
that was such an inspiration to me.
I
thought,
cool.
Wow, that is so cool. But you got to tell the story of when your dad, come on, you got to do this. He's napping in the chair. I'm picturing his mouth hanging open and he's just in La La Land having a good nap. And Michael and Gregory,
yeah.
How old were you then?
32 and 35. Yeah, it was 41. Yeah, probably a young teen at best.
And
well, he was so loud snoring.
Mm.
So
well, then he
chair.
Deserves it. Okay.
Exactly. That's my point. So we found him there snoring away, and he had just purchased this thing called a Super Barker Breaker for our dog because the dog barked all the time, drove him nuts. So this little thing called the Super Barker Breaker, it made a real obnoxious alarm sound, but then it shocked the dog. And those two things, you know, were to help it not bark anymore, which it worked quite well. And the dog didn't bark anymore. She had other deep emotional problems from that, but she wasn't barking. So I said, hey, let's get that thing. Go get the Super Barker Breaker. And I said, let's put it on Dad. Let's see what happens. And so my brother goes and takes it off the dog. And he gets behind the chair and just puts it right there on his throat. And then I lean in and bark as loud as I can, you know, roar, 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 real loud. Well, instantly this alarm, you beep, and shocked. And he jumps up out of his chair. Now, we're behind, so he doesn't see us. We're kind of tucked in away in a corner. And he looks around really fast and then runs out of the house. I mean, he's gone. And we waited. And minutes passed by, no dad. I really thought he's had a heart attack and he's out. And we're
so going
to have to take
trouble.
The shock collar and put it on his heart and bark again and try to get him revived. But he finally came back and he was crouched real low, comes through the door sniffing like he's sniffing for something. And we're just watching this going, we have fried his brain. You know, mom's going to kill us. Well, he hears us because we're just laughing, watching him crouch, just kind of wander around sniffing. So he's like, oh, boys, front and center. So we kind of walked over there and he goes, what'd you two do to me? And so we showed him and he goes, that's pretty funny, actually, because that's pretty good. Because we were very creative. You had to get creative. You couldn't just keep doing the same old things. And so I said, what happened? Why did you run out of the house? And he goes, it was the strangest thing. He goes, I was sound asleep when all of a sudden the fire alarm went off. Because the alarm sound, it really does sound like a fire alarm. So we're laughing. And then it occurred to me, I said, well, so what you're saying is as our father, upon hearing the fire alarm, your first instinct was to run out of the house. And he goes, oh, yeah, I should have looked around for you boys. We're like, you think? He was such a good sport. And I tell you that, you know, for as much as he would say that his motto in life was, I'm going to keep honor high in my family. I'm going to value my family members and treat them as priceless treasures. And then I'm going to keep anger low. I tell you, the other core value was just fun. And he was such a fun guy. And we laughed so much. And he had that personality, you know, like that book that John Trent and my dad wrote, you know, about the four personalities, the lion, the otter, the beaver, and the golden retriever. Well, he was that high otter. Just everything was fun and a game. And he was so impulsive that, you know, any kind of fun thing we could think of, we'd do it. It was very, very fun. And so he had this really cool he had this deep spiritual relationship with the Lord. And you know, we knew that was his top priority. We knew that mom was his next. You know, we'd get into a thing with mom, and he'd get in our faces, and he'd say, you may not speak to my wife that way. I mean, like right in our face and freak us out. But I mean, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pursued us and we had fun and he taught us, you know, all kinds of things. And yet when he would mess up, which, you know, come on, it happened. He always returned to make that right. And so I think all of us as siblings, you know, we left his home, you know, feeling valued and our hearts were open to him. And then even as adults, we all tried to work together, which was disastrous, not because of me. I'm disappointed. No,
okay.
Of course not.
But
even that, I mean, even he still pursued even us as adults. And I love that, you know, he like you said in the very beginning, there was a true authenticity with him. Who he was on stage and in the public's eye was who he was at home. There really, that wasn't incongruent at all. And I think that helped me not be bitter towards God or towards religion or the church or to ministry. Because I went, you can do this and do this well.
Yeah.
You can sell out to the Lord, sell out to a calling, and allow your children, your wife to be a part of that. And so it was never like, you know, people will say, well, how do you balance, you know, ministry and home life? It's the wrong paradigm. Because if you have to think of it as a balance, it's either or. Like when one's, you know, spinning and the other gets wobbly, you got to give attention here and then you go back over and give attention there. He integrated all of it. And I don't know if all of us can do that. But man, it has been something that I've pursued with my kids and my wife, and obviously Aaron and I get to work together. But it's not ministry or family; it's all of that's together, and we include them in the ministry that we do, and they're a part of that. And I learned that from him. I mean, that was my experience. That's all I knew.
Yeah, and I will say, as someone who knows you and Aaron well, that's exactly true for you. You guys are the same people on radio, on the stage, and behind the scenes. And
well, thank you.
But look at the legacy, though. I mean, he modeled that to his core, and you picked it up. You know, we literally have about 3 minutes before we pray, Greg. And I'd love to know, what ways do you show up as a dad with Garrison and the three girls because of how your dad showed up with you?
You know, I go back to that pursuit that he always pursued us. Through time, through activity, through just little things. You know, let's go for a walk. Let's, you know, when things weren't going well, you know, you hear stories of parents and adult kids, and it breaks my heart when there's that big rift. And he would always say, I don't care what you do, even if I can prove to you that you are 100% at fault and it's all on you. He goes, I will always pursue you. I'm going to swallow my pride. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to come after you. There's just such a sense of security there that I want my kids to feel that same way, that you matter, that you're valuable. And I'm just not going to tell you that. I'm going to back it up. And I'm going to come after you, and we're going to laugh, or we're going to have fun. And I'm sure that if you had them on the show, they would remember the time when Garrison calls in for Father's Day. Yeah. We're doing our program together.
Yes. They were like on a vacation. Keep going.
And he goes, what did he say to me that was like really?
Oh, it was so sweet and like.
Sometimes, you know. You're a good father. Something. It was something like crazy.
Something like, what? Do you have it there? You feed me.
Yeah, that was what.
You
asked him, what do you like about your father? And he goes, well, he feeds me sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that was it. It was like crickets after that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, that was moving.
Maybe I'm not living out that,
no
that
way.
Same thing.
Yeah, that was, he's just inheriting your humor. But anyway,
I love too. I remember one of the last big paradigm shifts for me as a learner under Gary Smalley was when he goes, you know, Greg, he goes, there's a difference between memorizing scripture and writing God's word in your heart. And I just remember going, that sounds so true. Hmm. Wait, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I really, but my just passion for scripture and for learning how to write God's word on my heart really came from watching him do that and watching him consume and meditate on God's word and getting that through that meditation, getting that into his heart. Boy, I've loved that, and how that when I'd come to him and say, I need advice here, and he'd go back to a scripture, almost like saying, listen, okay, I know I'm your dad, but let's go to your heavenly father. And hear what he has to say, because someday I'm not going to be around. And this is your anchor. This is your cornerstone.
Yeah, he taught you to look up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really did. Mm. And he wouldn't give me the quick, okay, Yellow, here's what you need to do. I mean, there was really what do you think God says about that? And it would irritate me. I'm like, you're experienced, dude. You've been through just tell me. You know, you've written tons of books.
You have infomercials.
You've got to have some sort of advice for me. Yeah. And yet there was truly a way in which that he just went, man, that's your papa right there. Mm. Let's talk to him. Well, here's what he says about that. That was a great lesson.
Greg, he set you up for success. And I love the way you answered Amanda's question. It's like, you know, we're all going to have anger, but to humble ourselves over and over again in relationship, you know, repentance, humility, working it out again and again. That's just the secret to success, and it's you too. And wondering if you would pray for us, all of us, that we would show up in our relationships with that kind of integrity. Would you pray?
Yeah, Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us people like my dad, God, that you've used, and we've grown and learned, and we're better men and women because of that, better husbands and wives and dads and moms. And God, we thank you for his life, Lord. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the way he loved me and loved others. And God, just help us to do that. Thank you for your word, that we can go right there and see things like the greatest commandment that gives us the plan. You give us the formula to love you with all of our hearts and love others as we love ourselves. God, thank you so much for that, Lord. And thank you for the time that we have with our loved ones, and how much, and the hope that we get to be with them someday. And so, Lord, thank you for not making this our home, that we have a home in heaven that we were made for. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Appreciate you so much, Greg. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Wow, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you're new to the listener family, request a new listener packet. We'd love to get you all kinds of great information. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.